I'm WNYC reporter Matt Katz in for Melissa Harris-Perry, and you're listening to The Takeaway. According to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, more than 31,500 ICE detainees have tested positive for COVID since February 2020. The agency is currently monitoring 281 cases in detention centers, and so far they report 9 COVID-related deaths. But researchers from the advocacy group Vera Institute of Justice estimate that the true COVID death numbers are 15 times higher. The new documentary, The Facility, depicts the frightening months at the start of the pandemic from the perspective of those held at the Irwin County Detention Center, a privately run ICE facility in Georgia.
Everybody is here under a lot of stress. We see what's happening outside, how fast it's been moving. Once it gets in here, we all be at risk.
Those detained in the cramped facility weren't given enough PPE. Instead, using makeshift masks of socks or plastic cups, they got what news they could from TVs pinned to the concrete walls, but ICE officers provided little information, even false information, as those inside began testing positive.
There is nobody infected in this facility.
Both of the warrants were in a federal court on Thursday, and they declared that they have tested 3 people and 1 came positive.
According to ICE, there ended up being 146 confirmed COVID cases at Irwin. The film shows inadequate COVID protocols compounding the systemic abuses in ICE detention. For detainees at this facility and others throughout the country, civil disobedience, like hunger strikes, were met with punitive solitary confinement. Court backlogs and unending parole processes mean undocumented immigrants in these deportation proceedings feel like they're serving an unending prison sentence. Joining me now is Seth Fried Wessler, who directed the facility, and Nilsen Barahona, an activist who was in the film when he was a detainee at Irwin last year. Seth, Nilsen, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, I've actually covered ICE and ICE detention for many years, and I've spent countless hours on the phone with ICE detainees. What's extraordinary about your film, Seth, is the visuals. You did video calls with these detainees, and those interviews doubled as a sort of secret camera inside the jail. Seth, can you describe the process here and how you came about it?
When the pandemic really began, when it began to turn our whole world upside down in early 2020, I began trying to find ways to report on what was happening inside of ICE detention centers as this pandemic was spreading. I've reported for years on ICE. And I began making calls using this video visitation app, cameras attached to tablets inside of ICE detention centers that streamed video back onto my phone or my computer screen. And I decided I wanted to try to use this tool now as the pandemic was beginning to figure out what was going on inside of these ICE detention centers. And these conversations, they really sort of began to take over my days in the early months of the pandemic. I met people like Nilsen, Andrea Manrique, who's also in the film, and many others inside of the Irwin County Detention Center in Georgia in particular. And I began to have these conversations that would sometimes last hours each day. And it struck me as I was reporting stories for magazines and for the web that I was seeing something that was really profound through the video that was streaming onto my computer screen, and that written stories just weren't going to be able to communicate the world that I was seeing through these screens. And so I embarked on this film project, The Facility. These conversations and sometimes just images appearing, video streams appearing out of the facility into my living room where I was sitting. I thought I was getting access to a place that I really had never been able to get access to in that level of detail and with that level of intimacy.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. So Seth, you're seeing inside the facility. And Nilsen, I guess by talking to Seth, you're getting a little bit of information about what's going on the outside, especially as coronavirus is starting to take hold in the country. Nilsen, I'm curious, what kind of information were you getting about coronavirus while you were detained?
The only information that we were getting, you know, when we was detained in the Irwin County Detention Center, we were getting it because of the media. Basically, the television had become a window into the world on the outside. And that was the only source of information that we had at the time, other than, you know, talking to our families or friends. And when it comes to the officials they were running that place, they were completely keeping us out of the loop when it comes to information about what was happening or whatever it was required for us to protect ourselves.
There's a moment in the film where an ICE officer comes into the unit while Seth is on the video with you, and Nilsen, you say, call me back later, but Seth is like, no, let's keep this rolling. So then we can hear the ICE officer off camera lie to you guys and say, no one has COVID in the unit. And then he says, you know, I'm just following orders. The muckety mucks are telling me orders, and I'm just bringing them home to you. Here's that clip of the ICE officer.
The people responsible are nowhere to be found. They're all sitting at home somewhere, barking orders, telling people like me what to say to you.
The facility is going to continue addressing issues as they arise. What that entails, I have no idea.
Nilsen, this must have been so frustrating. I mean, there's no information here. Can you tell us, was this normal for ICE officers to come in and talk to you like that, like not giving any information and blowing off your concerns?
Yes, it was normal for them to do that. But this officer, I think he faced like a different situation because he was confronted with the truth, something that we didn't have before. Hmm. We didn't have any type of piece of information that we could use to push them, you know, to tell us the truth. But since we have put a lawsuit in a federal court, basically they were forced to come and make a statement about what was happening inside that place. And that's what I confront this officer with that piece of information. And I think he find himself in a place where he didn't thought he was going to find himself. And the fact that it was so unexpected for him to be on that position, it kind of pushed him, you know, to come clean with the way they were dealing with the whole situation.
Yeah, you forced him to acknowledge that there were actually were COVID deaths happening. Seth, this exchange reminds me about how ICE enforces immigration policies, but in many cases, it actually contracts out the responsibility for jailing the people it's trying to deport. When it comes to ICE detention, Seth, there's a lot of sort of passing of responsibilities, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, most ICE detainees are held in facilities that the federal government contracts with, either private prison companies or with counties. And very often, ICE says, you know, the management of the operation of detention centers, the day-to-day care of people who the government is holding, you know, that's really the responsibility of the people we've contracted with. And so in that clip that you just played later in that exchange, the ICE officer actually says, look, the facility, the warden here who works for a private company called LaSalle Corrections will decide what they're going to do about COVID protections. Again, everybody in that facility, everybody in the Irwin County Detention Center is held because the federal government had decided to hold people. These are people who are in the custody of the federal government, but the responsibility of the day-to-day operations that, you know, how people's lives are dealt with is being handed off to private companies that have very different interests, very particular interests, their own interests in how and they're detaining people. You know, even to the point in this film, we see that Nilsen and others are placed in isolation cells because they protested conditions that they faced inside of the detention center.
Protested with a hunger strike, right?
That's right.
Okay.
They went on hunger strike or used these video apps to get videos released to protest the conditions of confinement. And LaSalle Corrections, this private company, placed people in solitary confinement based on its own disciplinary protocols, not government disciplinary protocols, but just summarily decided people are going to be placed, Nilsen included, into solitary confinement or into isolation cells, in some cases for weeks on end. You know, these are decisions being made not by government agencies, but by, in this case, a particular private company that runs a set of ICE detention centers around the country.
And detainees are held sometimes for years, and they're just being held while awaiting deportation proceedings in the courts, but sometimes they can get released without warning or explanation. And Nilsen, that's exactly what happened to you. In the film, you had worried about losing your bond with your young son after so much time away. I'm curious, Nilsen, if you've been able to rebuild that relationship now that you've been released and how difficult that's been.
Yeah, I have mentioned this before. My relationship with my son right now is like stronger than ever, you know. We still, of course, it was a year and a month. It was 13 months in total. This is time that we are never going to get back. And he was 5 years old at the time when I was detained. And he's 7 now. And I'm so proud of him, you know, because his character is so strong. And he's been able to come out of this situation, you know, stronger when it comes to his character. And I'm proud of him on that area. But what is hard for me to believe is that from the very beginning of my case, it was determined that I was not a flight risk. So I could have easily be with my family the whole time. And the problem that, of course, I think it was harder to explain to my son, but he wasn't the only one who was basically run over, you know, with this situation. My wife, she had a hard time, you know, like financially, emotionally, physically. She was drained when I came out of detention because she had to go through so much in order to keep the family rolling, you know. It was something that we were supposed to do as a couple, taking care of every need of the family. And now she had to do it on her own. And she also had that extra care of having her spouse in detention, which is something that hurt me a lot and something that motivated me to become an activist, because it's really hard to believe that your own government could be doing this to you, you know, because mm-hmm. this is the decision of the federal government, and their decision was inflicting pain into the society, you know, and this is happening over and over and over again. And yeah. And this is one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing as an activist now, is because separation of families is such a horrible thing.
Nilson Barahona spent much of 2020 in ICE detention and has since founded an organization called The Icebreakers. He's featured in Seth Fried Wessler's new documentary, The Facility. It's a co-production from Field of Vision and Type Investigations, and it's streaming at fieldofvision.org. Seth is currently a reporter at ProPublica. Thank you both for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for having us.